Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there. To another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Cavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Eric Holmes. Really, you're just smiling, you're not saying anything this time? Like, I'm totally expecting.
Well, I get to speak now?
I mean, why not?
Yeah, I want to get this going, baby. I want this to happen.
In today's episode, a cosmic firebird of death and rebirth collides with a chaos-wielding sorceress who can rewrite reality with a whisper. In one corner, you have the Phoenix, an Omega-level telepath fused with a Phoenix Force, wielding power that can incinerate stars, rebuild her body from atoms, and bring entire galaxies to their knees. And in the other corner, you have the Scarlet Witch, the chaos magic queen who once altered the DNA of the Marvel Universe itself, whispered mutants out of existence, and treats the laws of physics like mildly annoying suggestions. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And this battle obviously has been discussed quite a bit online, but has never gotten the Who Would Win treatment until today, really, that is. But here's the thing. We're doing something a little bit different for today's battle. Mm-hmm. Now, for years, people, our production team, other staff members have said, don't use two characters from the same comic book universe or gaming universe. You want two characters that have never seen each other before or what have you. And I said, you know what? And I talked to Eric about this. I'm not cool with that because there's a specific battle. I'm fans of both of these characters, but they've never actually gone toe-to-toe before. And some people think it's a mismatch. I actually think it's just a really fun battle to have. Let's see what happens. So, Eric, I have to know, what are your thoughts in today's matchup?
No, once again, this is a necessary battle, and it's a battle that you will only see or hear on the Who Would Win show. So I'm ready to get into it. I think it's going to be fun, and I can't wait to get the dub.
The dub, really. Yes. You know, here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff happening in today's world, right? You can look at it, what have you. But one thing's for certain, and everyone can agree with it, nothing's more important than a Who Would Win battle.
That's
and
it.
Specifically this one. Like, this is the most important thing. My kids could be calling me right now saying, Dad, we have a huge problem. Something's going on. I'm like, you know what? Shut up. I've got a Who Would Win battle.
I'm in studio, baby.
Yeah, totally. Hey, there could be a movie that's coming out, or some producer's like, James, we need you on board. We need you to help with the script, or blah, 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 produce this next super. I'm like, hell no. I've got the Who Would Win show to do today.
Committed.
Again, the most important thing of all time. And when you're doing the most important thing of all time, you need an equally important, magnificent, as impressive of a person to reflect the magnitude of this battle. And I think we have that person to judge today's insane matchup. So, coming from Venice, California, is one of the most brilliant minds I have ever encountered. Yes. It's someone who I also describe as an absolute force of nature, matching the character's power that we have in today's episode. We have the greatest judge of all time. It's the one, it's the only, it's Karen Wallerstein. Karen, welcome to Who Would Win.
Woo! Thanks for having me, guys.
You are like, by the way, absolutely insane, super smart, super cool. You are the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce of Venice, California. That is a very important, prestigious role. And I gotta tell you, as a business owner in Venice, California, my hat is off to you. I've been part of different chambers of commerce before. I've never been part of one as impressive as the Venice Chamber, as inclusive, as awesome, as proactive. And you are the perfect person to lead this effort. I'm telling you, Venice is coming back in a big way. And a lot of that is thanks to you. So tell us why being on the Who Would Win show is the most important thing you've ever done before. Or you can tell us about what you do with the Venice Chamber.
Well, I was going to say this is a game-changing event in my life, so thank you. Yet again, something I've never tried before, and I plan to do great at it. Nice. Important work of Venice Chamber. I live here. I breathe the air. I'm a big fan of the community, and I have been for many years, and I'm ready to take over, baby.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Right? So, Eric, here's the thing. I'm going to talk about Karen like she's not here. Don't mind me. So I was at a great chamber event in Venice, and Karen just grabbed the mic, and all of a sudden she just took over in the best way possible, made everyone feel great, showcased the talent. Tracy Park came up and said some great words, and she was absolutely awesome, almost as awesome as you were with everything you were doing. And again, I'm not just saying this because you're a judge for this battle and hopefully I'm going to get the win, but more importantly, because, again, I've been part of different chambers before. Karen is absolutely fantastic. If you're going to open a business in Venice, absolutely do it right now. Contact Karen. She is incredible. She'll help your business succeed like no one else will, because she just wants you to succeed in Venice, if I'm not mistaken.
100% correct. Roger that.
Okay. Now, this is something I haven't asked you yet, because we've had a couple of different meetings for different initiatives. What, in your opinion, or why and how, in your opinion, is Venice so freaking, for lack of a better term, magical?
It is so dynamic. It's got so much going on. People are drawn to Venice like moths to flames, right? And I know people that have thought about, you yourself included, James, who said, I've thought about this since I was a kid. Muscle Beach, the Venice sign, the hippies, the skateboarders, the roller skaters. Now we've got, you know, e-bikes and, you know, it's a whole electric game, right? But everybody's on wheels, man. So I even got my mom looped into it. She's 74. She freaking loves it here. She would never go back and go east. She's a big Venice person now. So people are just really drawn to the vibrant, dynamic energy. And I found my home. I found my community. I found my flow. I'm a creative myself. And I'm so energized every day by what I'm seeing, from Red Bull to still the hippie on roller skates playing his guitar, you know, hippie Harry, he's still rocking and rolling. So ain't nothing like it, man.
You know, this is a weird thing. And Eric, tell me what you think about this. I think Karen should have her own podcast. I'm just going to put it out there.
Have one yet?
She does not have one yet. Okay. I think she should. I think the Venice Chamber of Commerce would be served very well by someone like Karen leading the way. Right. You're a natural leader, by the way, and I think I'm not the first person to say that. You do so much good for the community. And, you know, again, you're right. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to be in Venice. You know, that little kid in me from Ottawa, Canada, reading all the books and all that kind of stuff about Venice Beach and everything. Yep. And I get to be here. And I knew that if I got here, there'd be amazing people here. And sure enough, here's Karen with all the other cool people you work with and bring around. So absolutely, this is, I just think she should have her own podcast. Yep. Legion of Audience, our fan base, tell me if you agree or disagree. You're going to agree, of course, especially after today's episode. Right. With that being said, let's get into it. But before we get into it, let's go over the official rules of a who would win matchup. And these are the rules you get to go by as a judge. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the who would win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. Now, there's an exception to this one. Typically, you know, picture someone from Star Wars versus someone from Marvel or whatever, or video games. They typically don't know each other. But these two characters, at least in some way, shape, or form, somehow know about each other, kind of know about each other's capabilities. So they may not be prepared for the fight. It's a random encounter, but they see each other. They kind of have an idea what's up. So they're not completely unprepared. The debater has to stay within the confines of the character, and when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Now remember, the bottom line in a who would win match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. Right? Like in a jiu-jitsu class where Eric is, he comes at me, I choke him out. He's out for 2 minutes. There's no threat to me whatsoever. Actually, there's no threat even at the beginning of the match because it's just Eric. He's a beginner. I'm just putting that out there. Eric, actually, you're doing great. You are doing great.
No, we'll see about that on Thursday. I'm pissed.
Sorry, I didn't react because I didn't feel threatened. Yeah. All right, now, before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. By the way, Eric is doing great in jiu-jitsu. He's learning submissions. He's doing great stuff. He's about to start some kickboxing. Someone's about to give him a lesson or two. That would be me. I'm turning Eric into an absolute physical monster. By the way, he was a Division I athlete at USC football. Fight not on. That he needs nice. More tools, but why not, right? Why Let's not? Go. Give him more stuff.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm thinking about. All right. Now let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for the Phoenix.
Yes, so when Jean Grey merges with the Phoenix Force, she stops being just a powerful mutant and becomes a cosmic firebird of death and rebirth. The Phoenix amplifies Jean's already Omega-level telepathy and telekinesis into godlike proportions. She can manipulate matter, incinerate planets, and she can resurrect herself or others on a whim. She once casually consumed a star. Her power comes with emotional volatility and a tendency to go full dark phoenix. When things get too intense, but make no mistake, Phoenix is one of the most powerful entities in the Marvel multi-universe, with energy output that makes galactics sweat and enough telepathic might to shut down entire civilizations.
Okay, let me add a little something to this, okay? Because you did a great job with this. The Phoenix is, like, there's a character named Galactus, and he's just in the Fantastic Four movie. Galactus eats planets, right? Okay. And in the Marvel universe, the Phoenix can beat Galactus.
Wow.
Yeah, and the Phoenix is like an insanely powerful force and has everything. Yeah, so this is like, this is a no-joke character who can absolutely destroy stuff. More powerful than Superman. By far, this is an insanely powerful thing. But how will she do against my character?
Let's go. Let's
the
go.
Character for the Scarlet Witch. Now, her real name, Wanda Maximoff. Nice Jewish name, by the way. AKA the Scarlet Witch. That's important, by the way, to represent. Right. Is chaos incarnate with a crown. A mutant-born wielder of chaos magic. She shattered reality, rewrote existence, and uttered three words, no more mutants. You know, the X-Men are mutants. She said, no more mutants. That destroyed almost 100% of the mutants in the entire universe, because that's what she does. Her power is a mix of mutant ability, magical manipulation, and straight-up narrative rewriting. She bends probability, casts hexes that detonate reality like C4, and sees the multiverse like a coloring book she's tired of. Whether she's warping time, resurrecting loved ones, or turning armies into butterflies, Wanda is a one-woman paradox, just as likely to heal the world as erase it because she's just having a bad day. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Karen, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, actually, you're giving me a lot to think about. I'm getting an understanding of both very powerful chicks. I like it.
That's what's up.
That's the deal. I mean, you know, we do a lot of, like, we did a comedy matchup. We did some really cool matchups with characters and everything. But when, you know, you want to kind of bring in the ultimates, right? The heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Right? And just kind of have that. And I think you're the perfect person for this episode. All right. Let's get this party started. Eric, hit us your point number one.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay, my point number one. All right, here we go. Cosmic telepathy that overrides reality. Okay, the Phoenix Force elevates Jean to a multiversal level of telepathy, granting her the ability to read minds across galaxies and even erase consciousness on a massive scale. Okay, she has mentally subdued multiple Omega-level mutants at the same time, making even the one, the only, Professor X appear inexperienced in comparison. At one point, Jean held the minds of every person on Earth simultaneously, including yours, James. Could you imagine how that was for her? That big, dirty, little, filthy mind of yours. Oh, that's disgusting. She even held your mind at the same
time. Wait, I'm watching cartoons with the kids. How dare you, good sir? That is horrible. You are a monster.
I can tell you. But yes, while holding all these minds, she influenced them all without hesitation. Kind of like what I'm doing with your dumpster brain right now, James.
How dare you?
Against Scarlet Witch, Phoenix wins by dominating the mental battlefield before Wanda can even cast a single hex, neutralizing the threat before the fight truly begins. And all that, James, is my point number one.
I almost take no exception with anything you just said, except any reference to me. Sorry, kids at home. Everyone knows, you know, last name Gabsy, G, rated G, that's who I am. But again, you didn't say anything that's wrong. The Phoenix Force can do all of that. She possesses Jean Grey, who's a super powerful telepath already, so that all gets magnified. And then on top of all that too, you know, the Phoenix can wipe out a whole bunch of stuff, destroy a solar system very easily. Insanely powerful. But there's one little problem with the Phoenix, which I'll state later on, which will help my character. Now let me get to the Scarlet Witch, my point number one. For the Scarlet Witch, I'm just going to say, you know, chaos magic cancels logic and a lot of time cancels telepathy and telekinesis, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got these Omega level mutants, and what that means in the comic book universe for Marvel, they're the top of the food chain in terms of mutants. They can do stuff that affect or destroy the planet, right? Or the entire planet's population. That's Jean Grey's starting point. Then the Phoenix possesses her, and now they're even like crazier powerful. I get it. But Wanda's chaos magic isn't bound by science or telepathy, science, whatever you want to call it. It's literally the power to override cause and effect. Like, here's the thing with the Scarlet Witch. We saw a little bit in the Marvel movies and all that. No one really understands how her powers work. They just work because of, I'm using air quotes, reasons. They just happen to override whatever you happen to be facing at that moment, right? Which is really crazy. She's shown resistance to super high-level telepaths like Charles Xavier a whole bunch of times. She outmaneuvered Doctor Strange's mind projections and all his magic because chaos magic nullifies whatever comes at her. It doesn't work in physics. And the Phoenix, by the way, is still science-based. Right? It's not magic. And when it comes to magic versus science, because magic doesn't make any sense whatsoever, especially chaos magic, it overrides and overpowers science all the time. Now, her powers somehow bend probability itself. So telepathic domination would just fail because it's chaos magic, and that's what it does. It screws things up. She wins by making the Phoenix's mind attacks literally irrelevant, unpredictable, her powers are, or just backfiring. She makes people's powers backfire and implode. I don't get how it works, and no one does because it's chaos magic. Think of her having the power of, that won't work because I said so. Literally, that's the only way I can define her power. All of a sudden, Thor comes at her and is like, I'm going to crush you with my hammer. And she's like, no, it's not going to work because I said so. Or someone's trying to use to corrupt her mind. No, it's not going to work because I said so. That's what she does. Again, Phoenix exists in science. She works in chaos magic. Completely different universe that the Phoenix really, I don't think, has an answer for. That's my point number one.
All right. So this chaos magic. Okay. Let's get into that right now. Yes. Chaos magic may bend probability. Okay. But Phoenix operates on a multiversal scale. All right. Her power isn't bound by chance. Okay. Even if Wanda tries to override cause and effects, Phoenix can attack across realities, overwhelm her defenses, and hit before chaos magic can react. Wanda may resist telepaths like Xavier, but she's never faced a force that can control entire galaxies at once. Entire galaxies, my friend. Probability can bend, but the Phoenix shatters limits.
Okay, interesting stuff. I didn't listen to any of it, by the way. Because more importantly, it's really up to the judge and what the judge has to say. So, Karen, you've heard one point from both Eric and myself. Yeah. Tell us where your head is at so far with this battle.
Are you okay, Carrie?
Am I okay? That's a great first question, Eric.
Have you been around this amount of nerdism?
Not in a long time, guys. Okay. I mean, I actually did read comic books as a kid, and I liked Superman, I think, that I can remember. So it's hearkening back to a more innocent time. Yes. But yes, you guys are dorking out pretty hard.
Thank you.
So that's a good thing. Okay. Two things. So this is like cosmic magic versus cosmic telepathy, working cross reality. So two different types of strengths and powers, and it's all about which one is stronger at any given time. So am I picking a winner right now?
No, you're not picking a winner, okay. But you're kind of telling us who you think is ahead so far.
Well, I would like to say, to me, what's more appealing is the Scarlet Witch with her logics, you know, and overriding cause and effect. That's what I was looking for. I like that very much. That being said, I don't know if you guys can see this, the listeners, but I like how Phoenix looks in her red hair. So I'm a very visual person too. So
definitely points. Definitely points for the visual. I think the Phoenix has a better visual.
She has a better visual. Presentation. Right away, I was like, oh wow, who's that?
Yeah, absolutely. Eric gets that a lot too. People are like,
who's that Phoenix? Yeah. Who's that Phoenix down the street? Walking down Venice.
I can totally see that, obviously.
Yeah, Phoenix definitely has more of a Venice vibe.
Yeah,
right?
She does. And the red hair.
Scarlet Witch is a bit more. Maybe
Halloweenish, maybe.
Maybe a little Beverly Hills, like avant-garde Beverly Hills.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's a good one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, none of that has anything to do with this fight, by the way. But more importantly,
rude to our judge, James.
But I like where you went with Scarlet Witch because chaos magic is a thing. I had a ton of people say, like, when I told them, like, hey, here's the battle, I'm repping Scarlet Witch against the Phoenix. And so many people were like, what are you doing? Like, someone can destroy a solar system, if not way more. And the other person does magic tricks. And I'm like, it's science versus magic, and magic can really do something good. I like how you're leaning towards Scarlet Witch for the victory so far, but you like the actual, clothing choice, of the Phoenix and the hairstyle,
there's a belt, there's boots, there's the hair.
Yeah.
It's more than just the clothing.
That's fair. That's fair. There's a whole vibe.
You're going to see through my eyes.
Right? That's a whole vibe. All right. I like where this battle is going. This is interesting. Stay tuned for point number two.
Hey, everybody. This is Ray from Who Would Win Masters, and I know that regardless if you're part of the Legion of Audience, Rainiacs, or even a Crit Master, you take your online privacy seriously. And if you haven't been doing that, I want to take a moment to talk to you about NordVPN, who helps sponsor this episode. I personally use NordVPN when I want to watch stuff that's streaming not in my region. That's why I got the service. I recently watched an AEW pay-per-view event that I was not able to stream here in Los Angeles. How did I do it? I used NordVPN to change my digital location. It was really easy to do, and it worked brilliantly. I wouldn't be talking about NordVPN if I didn't use it myself. Anyway, I just found out through this ad campaign that NordVPN did a collab with Marvel Comics to make a digital motion comic called The Only Certainty Is Change that features the Avengers. And I'll be honest, I thought it was some good fun. I got a big laugh when Tony Stark realized that he'd done messed up by connecting his Iron Man suit to a network without using a VPN. All right. I thought that was fun. Gold, honestly. But you can check out this full comic yourself no matter where you are in the world by switching your virtual location with NordVPN. We love Marvel heroes everywhere, but you can be a hero to your whole family by protecting them digitally with NordVPN. NordVPN protects your private data, passwords, and online identity from all those villains online. You know who they are. You can take advantage of the exclusive NordVPN deal right now at https://nordvpn.com/whowouldwin. Try risk-free with our 30-day money-back guarantee. You'll find the link in the description. Go check out that comic. It's a hoot.
And we're back. Eric, hit us with your point number two.
Okay, yeah. So what I'm going to do in this section here, Karen, on top of her fashionable, look, you know, a fashionista and everything and all the other amazing, skills that she has, I'm just going to highlight more of those as well. Okay, so I want to get into her energy control on a universal scale, okay? Phoenix manipulates all forms of energy, unleashing force blasts that can obliterate planets, controlling gravity, and even disassembling atomic structures at will. She has taken hits from Thor himself, incinerated enemies with nothing more than a thought, and casually, resurrected herself from death. At one point, Jean absorbed an entire star and exploded a solar system just to make a point. Against Scarlet Witch, Phoenix wins by unleashing overwhelming destructive force so immense that not even Wanda's reality-warping chaos can counter it. And all that, James, is my point number two.
Okay, really cool. So everything that Eric said absolutely is correct. The Phoenix did all this kind of stuff, takes on the most powerful beings in the Marvel Universe. They have to team up together to figure out how to even deal with her. Never mind, beat the Phoenix Force, which rarely happens. And the Phoenix, even when the Phoenix is beaten, Venus comes back, you know, a year later, more powerful than ever and that kind of thing. Really impressive character.
Yes.
But remember, I'm a martial artist. Yes. I'm a fight enthusiast. I'm an MMA connoisseur. I'm someone who watches fights of cornered fighters, and I have to look at an opponent and be able to break them down and say, well, what is something that maybe they're not doing quite that well, or is there even an opening there? And I found it with the Phoenix. Here's the deal. She rarely starts off full power. Right. So imagine you're like Karen, you walk into the gym, right? And you're like, see, I bench 405 pounds, put four plates on there, right? You don't start there, do you? You're like, I'll warm up with.
That's what I did this morning.
Exactly. Right. Yep. You know, great video, by the way. Very cool. 245 pound plates, you're doing 225. Then you go up to 315, then 405. You ramp up to that. The Phoenix is exactly the same way. The Phoenix rarely starts off with, okay, we're going to fight, destroy the solar system. That's not it. There's a ramp up that happens. They go from a little bit, you know, level one to level two, level three. Maybe I destroy the city, the continent, whatever it is. Or maybe I'm going to talk for a little bit because the Phoenix sometimes likes to communicate with whomever they're fighting. Maybe the Phoenix is like trying to say, hey, should I absorb you? Or maybe I should leave Jean and go into Scarlet Witch. We don't know. And if that happens, is that still the Phoenix? I don't know. My whole point is they don't start off at top tier power right away in the fight. They have to get there eventually. And that is the weakness that the Phoenix has. Something Scarlet Witch can used. More on that, my point number three. But before I get that, let me get to my point number two. Magic rewrites the battlefield, and no one does that better than the Scarlet Witch with her chaos magic, right? So she doesn't just throw power around, she alters reality itself, meaning Phoenix attacks could hit literally nothing. All of a sudden, Phoenix throws an attack, and she's like, I'm warping reality. Everything's changed, right? Physics, gone. equals MC cubed instead of MC squared, right? Now, let me know if I'm going too fast for you, Eric. So the whole point is she can rewrite anything that's coming at her. She once rewrote all of reality in a comic book series called House of M, and she banished cosmic beings like Mephisto. And Mephisto is like the Satan, literally the devil of the Marvel universe. So the Satan came to her and she's like, I'm going to rewrite all of this. Satan, you're gone. And Satan's gone, just like that, because that's what she does. And that Mephisto is a very powerful character, rules over his own hell-like dimension, right? And she was just like, I'm getting rid of you right now because I said so, right? Using chaos magic. She wants to recast the entire battlefield and erase the Phoenix's powers from the rules of the universe because she wanted Jean Grey to go away. Right? She's like, I don't like you as a person. I know you're possessed by the Phoenix, so I'm just going to rewrite you to leave. Right? Now, it didn't destroy the Phoenix, but it removed her from the battlefield, which is really, really cool. Now, this is how she wins. She's going to win by changing the rules of the fight while the Phoenix is actually still following them. Because the one thing the Phoenix can't do is rewrite physics. She's bound by physics, meaning, hey, my heat blast will affect this, blow up planets, whatever. Wanda Maximoff can literally say, your heat blast now turns things to ice. Right? You no longer can breathe in space because space is water. I don't know. She can rewrite all of that using her chaos magic. And unfortunately, she's quite good at it and created some horrible situations within the Marvel Universe, which was fun for us to read. All that is my point number two.
So here you go with all that little magic talk again, right? A little bag of tricks, right? A little bag of marbles, a deck of cards, a little magic castle show, right? This isn't what we're dealing with, okay? It's just magic, all right? I'm telling you, the Phoenix is on another level. Then you're Wanda, okay? Hear me out. All right, so Wanda can alter reality. That's huge, okay? But Phoenix doesn't rely on a single plane or set of rules either, okay? Follow me. She is a force behind life, death, and the energy of the cosmos. Phoenix is. Even if Wanda reshapes the battlefield, cool. All right, Wanda, you're reshaping things with your magic. Bag of tricks, marbles, deck of cards, magic. Phoenix can't bypass the changes entirely, striking across dimensions and using raw energy to overwhelm Wanda. Reality manipulation only works on fixed systems, okay? Which Wanda is doing. Phoenix isn't bound by any system either, at all, making her attacks unavoidable. And that's my rebuttal to you, James.
I like the rebuttal. I like it because it's almost like you're dealing with two people, two beings that can, maybe one can change the rules and the other one can change things around the rules. Right? It's kind of it's an interesting battle. But you know what? This deserves to be figured out by someone of a higher pay grade than you and I, Eric. So let's go to the judge, Karen. with your eyes wide open, going like, wait, what? I got to figure this out. We are now what's called...
the money hands, yes.
She's like, I got this. We are now at what's called the turning point. This is where, you, after hearing 2 points from Eric and myself, you tell us who you think is ahead in this battle so far and what the other side has to do to get the victory.
So with this last back and forth, now the Beverly Hills Scarlet Witch is a little bit ahead.
Ooh, interesting. Why is that?
What really appealed was altering the realities of things. So, you know, if we're going to remove Phoenix, we're just going to take her out of the equation. I like changing the rules on things. I like being a change maker. It's kind of what I like to do in my community as the chamber CEO. So really appealed to something for me there.
Now, I'm not saying I thought of you specifically for this battle because of those reasons. That's why I wanted you as a judge so you could see exactly where I was coming from. I'm just saying it's funny how that all worked out that way, you know, using chaos magic. Yeah, it's just kind of convenient. That's all I'm saying. All right. Now, what does the Phoenix have to do to get the victory, though?
Oh, good question. Okay. So I think Phoenix, I got to be wowed with something I still don't know because I'm learning so much, but something I don't know, something that really speaks to my... motivations here nice. To sway your way, Eric.
No problem.
Yeah. By the way, you're saying you're learning so much. Will you be taking this knowledge with you ongoing in your next chamber meeting?
Sure. Like, at our next board meeting, I'm going to talk about the battle of the Marvel Universe and how great outfits look on when you're throwing fire.
Correct.
Yeah, and it doesn't catch on fire.
Right. Exactly. It's fire retardant if I just throw this at you and I wear this cool suit. It's very Burning Man, actually. Anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, as someone from the Palisades, we don't need to be talking about throwing fire. I'm kidding. Sorry.
I'm
kidding. No, I'm kidding. Actually, I thought I was going to make a horrible homeless joke with fire throwing. So, you know,
let's just move on.
Sorry. Listen, I'm a monster, okay? I'm a monster. By the way, we're starting reconstruction of my home soon. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be awesome.
Happy to hear
and we're
that.
Rebuilding. My whole point is, if if you had to end up anywhere after all that stuff, Venice is the place to be, especially thanks to people like Karen and the Venice Chamber is what I'm trying to say.
And here we are at Blank Spaces.
And Blank Spaces in Venice.
And we welcome you here with open arms.
Yeah, also. Exactly. By the way, weird question. Do you think Karen should have her own podcast?
She doesn't have one already?
I know. It's crazy, right? All right. So you've heard 2 points. We're at the turning point. Scarlet Witch is slightly ahead, but we'll see what's about to happen. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Eric, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Here we go. Let's finish it out. All right. So I want to get into regeneration, resurrection, and rebirth. All right. So with all this stuff that, you know, the Scarlet Witch can do, this is how Phoenix can totally work with that and outdo her and be just fine. Okay. Even if Scarlet Witch manages to land a decisive hit, if she manages, Phoenix is very embodiment of rebirth. Got to remember this. Killing her is nothing more than a temporary setback. She has returned from non-existence, been reborn as a cosmic firebird, and even reconstituted her body from atoms scattered across deep space. Her connection to life force energy ensures that as long as anything lives, she can return. She rises up like a phoenix. Against Wanda, Phoenix wins in a battle of attrition, rising stronger each time she falls, making her virtually impossible to defeat through conventional means. And all that, James, is my point number three.
Okay, so this is kind of crazy. I don't think Wanda Maximoff can destroy the Phoenix, right? Because it's not, it's like the Phoenix force, the Phoenix that inhabits like Jean Grey or other characters, what have you, magnifies their powers. And it's as if they need to magnify it anymore, right? It's a force that can destroy probably a galaxy or what have you.
Magnetic, yeah.
But I do think the key is going to be some type of either battlefield removal or some type of pausing of their powers. Like something's going on that way. And there's a reason for this. But let me get to my point number three and you'll see where I'm going with it. We're talking about narrative level erasure here. There's like this funny episode of Bugs Bunny in a classic cartoon where Bugs Bunny is not liking what's happening in the episode. And, you know, he talks with the writer of the episode and takes out a giant pencil and starts erasing what's happening in the episode itself and then rewrites it. And that's what Wanda Maximoff can do. And so the Phoenix seems to be someone who exists within Wanda Maximoff's reality, as opposed to Wanda Maximoff existing within the Phoenix's, you know, kind of mindscape or control over what's going on. And the real key to this again is that the Phoenix has to ramp up. The Phoenix doesn't come in destroying everything, because if it did, there'd be no storyline, really. The Phoenix comes to Earth or encounters someone. There's a story that happens. Someone gets destroyed, whatever. But there's a ramping up that happens. Scarlet Witch doesn't need to ramp up. So in the House of M series I talked before, where she said no more mutants, she removed all of mutants really from the planet Earth and from like the solar system by saying no more mutants. That's three words and it happened. Reality got altered, warped, the whole thing. As the Phoenix is starting, they kind of battle and they start going, and the Phoenix starts ramping up, and the Phoenix is like, you know what? Things are about to get really serious. I got to really take the Scarlet Witch character very seriously. All of a sudden, Scarlet Witch is like, no more Phoenix. Gone. All of a sudden, gone just like that. It's kind of like throwing a jab or a big, huge right-hand cross for someone who can snap a lead-hand jab in your face way faster. The person who can hit the most significantly, the fastest, is going to be the winner of this. Now, even if she says no more Phoenix, I think the Phoenix just goes away and then comes back in a future storyline more powerful. Maybe she can't deal with the Phoenix the same way anymore, but she just has that ability to erase the Phoenix from whatever playing field she's at right now. By the way, they already fought before once before, and she removed the Phoenix from the battlefield and sent her away more than 2 minutes away. This is someone who doesn't have the power, I believe, to destroy the Phoenix, but you don't have to destroy the person. It's not a death match, right? It's not a death battle. It's who would win. And in this way, I think it's cheap, but I think she's going to send the Phoenix away or say no more Phoenix, make her go away for a while, way more than the 2 minutes needed to get the win, and then the Phoenix will come back. This is just kind of like weird Bugs Bunny kind of stuff, script erasing, what have you, from this reality. I don't think the Phoenix has a way to resist that a lot, or at least enough for the Scarlet Witch to kind of completely take the win from this. Bottom line, Scarlet Witch is going to rewrite reality, erase stuff, and I don't think the Phoenix can deal with that as well as what Scarlet Witch can do. So I think Scarlet Witch gets the win just through no more mutants, a few words, and Phoenix is gone. That's my point number three.
That's not enough to beat the Phoenix. That's not. I'm talking about the Phoenix here. So I'm going to give you my play-by-play of how the Phoenix is going to win this. And then you can bring it home if you want to try to. Okay? All right. So first, I feel the Phoenix will begin by scanning Wanda's mind. Okay? Across realities. All right? Because Wanda seems to be in a lot of different places and stuff. All right? So remember, Phoenix has already been up against Wanda, okay? So you're not going to be able to fool her twice, all right? So with that being said, she's simply going to scan Wanda, who she already knows, okay, for all the weaknesses, which she is aware of. She literally follows with multiversal energy blasts that hit across dimensions, destabilizing Wanda's chaos magic, that big old magical stuff that she has going on, and preventing her from rewriting the battlefield. Using teleportation and cosmic force, I feel that Phoenix isolates Wanda, cutting off any advantages, then strikes with combined psychic and energy attacks. Even if Wanda recovers, Phoenix's connection to life force lets her maintain pressure, wearing down Wanda until she's overwhelmed and unable to counter. That's my rebuttal.
Okay, interesting stuff here. I think so if I'm understanding what you're saying is because they've already encountered each other before, because again, they're in the same universe, you're saying, if I'm not mistaken, that the Phoenix is not going to fall for the same thing twice.
Correct.
The Phoenix is like, okay, for whatever reason, I got to take on this person. We've battled before. I'm going to use that experience to my advantage and totally take them by surprise or do what I got to do. Okay, and have different tactics. That is interesting, and I actually can see some logic in that. But it's not up to me, Eric. Let's see what our judge has to say. Karen, you've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. Tell us, you know, take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and tell us who wins this battle between the Phoenix and the Scarlet Witch.
So in the first 2 rounds, it was a really good matchup, I have to say. I like that they'd seen each other before, so this wasn't their first rodeo. But in the first, I was leaning in one direction about like reality and magic and chaos and all this kind of stuff and leaning towards Scarlet Witch. And actually, then Phoenix came around because, well, I like just how she looks and how she's dressed, but I like the idea of the rebirth and the resurrection. So I'd say all along it was pretty much tied for me. But again, that fashion thing keeps coming back for me. But then Eric got me in the 3rd round and Phoenix, I declare the winner. Because for me, regeneration, rebirth, resurrection, she's seen the witch before. She's not falling for it again. And I like what you said about she's impossible to defeat through conventional means. Not to say that Scarlet is conventional, but she is going to outsmart it, and she's going to use her telepathy and her cosmic fireball energy to defeat. So I'm going to give this one to Phoenix.
Interesting. This is what happens sometimes. This is what happens. I felt very confident up for the first few rounds, and I felt like despite the obvious advantage Phoenix has in, you know, fashion and what have you, and hairstyles too for that matter, I was like, no, but you know, Karen's seeing my logic, and I was like, okay, good, this is awesome, I've got it. And sometimes this is what happens. That third point just comes across really, really well. Eric, I gotta tell you, I'm impressed how you used my own logic against me. Yeah. That was very cool. Kind of unexpected. Not going to lie. I'm a little surprised. I thought I had something in the bags. You were going to see it. But well done. I got to tell you, that was awesome. Tell Legion of Mind's your fan base how you're feeling with this victory.
I mean, Phoenix, hello. I mean, we went through the stages, you know, very fashionable, good looking lady. But not just that. Yo, she is a bad AWS and she can get it done.
That's true. That is true. It's like whenever the Phoenix appears, the Avengers are like, we need to figure this out right now.
Multiversal, baby.
Multiversal. All right. Let's go. Well done. All right, Karen.
How do you feel, James?
I'm okay, oddly enough. I hate losing, but at the same time, it was an excellent analysis of the battle. You did a great job. Here's the thing. Whenever these matches come down to the wire and we both give it our all, and I know I've left it all on the battlefield, so to speak, I don't like losing, but I'm okay with it. You know, it's when, especially when the judge really weighs everything and kind of takes everything into consideration. I can live with it. Okay. Don't like it, but I can live with it. I'm okay. That's the kind of thing. Thanks for asking. Are you going to give me a hug after? You're kind of looking me in the eyes kind of a little weird.
Yeah, I'm going to hug you, big guy.
Oh, that's going to be really disturbing. All right. So listen, Karen, great job. First time ever on the show. Please come back. You were absolutely fantastic. Until you come back, tell the Legion of Minds, that's our fan base, where they can find you online.
Oh, easy. Okay. Instagram handle at Karina _ Ballerstein.
Very good. How do you spell Ballerstein?
Ballerstein. Baller.
Okay, yeah, excellent. Like do you want like a new group of fans who are from the nerd culture or fan base? Is that something?
I mean, honestly, this is fun. Like, I get why there's that culture. And I'm telling you, it brings me back to a childhood when, you know, I read comics. And I think it's kind of great. So, sure, bring it on.
Very cool. I think, like, Eric's been described as a man-child many times before.
Yes.
5 times today, by the way. So, I think this is a good thing.
I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Totally. By the way, my mind's never gotten past 11 years old.
Why
I'm still
it?
That kid.
Why?
Right. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Very cool. All right, Eric, tell everyone, our fan base, Legion of Audience, where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at the THE Eric with the C Holmes, HOLMES. That's all my handles across social media. Let's connect.
Very cool. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gabs. You remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.